Apostles' Creed talk about what we believe, sort of the core of what Christian faith is. And hopefully this encourages you in your faith as we read these things. To me, I'm like, this is a great tool to kind of compare what's out there. I don't know if you guys listen to Christian radio, or I'm spending more time on YouTube, and there's all kinds of sermons and teaching and stuff that's out there. And how do you know what is right and what is true? And by taking these creeds, these truths, that we can compare and find out where people stand biblically. And I think that's a valuable thing for us to do. So we're going to wrap this up on the idea of everlasting life. So we're going to read through the Apostles' Creed one more time. All right? So I believe in God the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead and rose the third day. He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the last one is life everlasting. That we're going to pick up this morning. This is kind of a spillover from last week, right? We talked about the idea of the resurrection. That in here, in death, we are separated from our body, but God has designed us triune. We have a body, soul, and a spirit. And I know someone said, well, when we get to heaven, why do we even need a body? Well, fast forward just a little bit, that in the next life, we talk about heaven, but you read the end of the book. That heaven comes here on earth. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And in this, we will have new bodies, right? Because of the body, we'll be able to enjoy the touch, the feel, the taste, right? We talk about heaven, that we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? We're going to eat. I don't think there's calories in heaven. I don't know. I can't find a verse that says that, but I'm hoping so, right? But in here, things will be good. God has designed this world for our enjoyment, if you go back to the book of Genesis. Right? He created all these things and told man to have dominion over the earth. I always kind of liken that as, you know, God gave us the earth as one big Lego box. I don't know about you, but I liked Legos when I was a kid. Actually, one of my favorite things, I don't know, we'll find out who's about my age or not. Do you guys remember there was a thing called an erector set? Those wouldn't be allowed today. Those of you who don't know what an erector set is, it was a little plastic case. You opened it up, and it had bolts and nuts, and it had motors, and it had rubber bands. It had all kinds of things, and it was all made of metal. And so they had metal strips with holes in it, so you could build all this metal stuff. So you can get a fan going pretty quickly on that, and it does make a pretty dangerous weapon that you could use against your brother. I'm not confessing anything. I just heard it could be done. And sometimes our erector sets got taken away because we were building not safe things, to say the least. But we enjoy it, to make things and use your imagination. Remember Tinker Toys? I saw a set of Tinker Toys not that long ago, and they're made out of plastic now. I'm like, wait a minute, they're supposed to be wood. And also, you can use the little fins. How many guys know what I'm talking about, right? Remember the little green fins? These make great motorcycles noises when you clip them to your bike. And so the spokes would go da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Good old days. Right? Making things and creating things and just spending time doing that instead of, you know, spending time doing this on your phone all the time like some of the kids do. Kids nowadays. I am getting old. But God gave us this world to explore and look what's going on. It's amazing the things that God has allowed us to create. I mean, between televisions and computers and, I mean, vehicles. And I mean, it's amazing, right? All we're doing is kind of assembling the things that God has left for us. And imagine in eternity, right? God created all those things and said it was good and put man in the garden. I can't imagine what eternity is going to be like, but in that, we'll have physical bodies that will be perfect, that will be eternal, that will not wear out. Right? So far, I'm doing good. You know, I talked about my goals in life. I've shared with them many times, right? One of them is not to ever be shot at. So far, so good. Goal number two is I want to leave with the same original equipment as I came with. So, Lord willing, you know, I'll keep all my original parts. I know some of you, you know, half of you are new, right? New parts and new pieces and all those things. So we'll see how that we go with that. But nothing will wear out in our new bodies. No more disease, no more cancer, no more all of those things. So we have a perfect body. And this doctrine kind of piggytails off of this, because in you, the life that we have in store for us is this thing called eternal life, life everlasting. That this world, all these things are so temporary. Are so temporary. Some of you guys know we had an issue with the fridge next door. And so I went down to the store where we bought it and said, hey, we're having a little bit of a problem. Can you come take a look at it? They sent a serviceman out. And the guy's like, you know, they don't make things like they used to. And he goes, it's not a problem. It was just a little bit of ice buildup on there. And so it's nothing bad. He goes, but the design is different from what it used to be. And he goes, I always tell people, if you have an old fridge, like, some of you probably have a refrigerator that's like 30 years old and it's still going, right? It'll still be running during the millennium reign of Christ, right? That thing's never going to go, right? Compared to the new ones, warranty runs out and you instantly have a problem, right? And the guy's like, you know, if you have an old appliance, fix it, he goes. Take care of it instead of buying something new. And this is from the service guy. Right, everything we have is so temporary. You know, our vehicles we're constantly working on because they're rusting and falling apart. Right? Homes need to be repaired. All this we see around us, you know, even this building that we're in now. I mean, we're talking this building's about probably almost 170 years old. And we're patching up, repairing. And sooner or later, this building, even though it was long before I was here, and it may be here afterwards, it's all temporary. But the hope we have is that a day in which all of this will come permanent. The Bible talks about this idea of everlasting life. Matthew, Jesus talks about this, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into everlasting life. And because we're our body, soul, and spirit, our spirits are eternal. They do not cease to exist. And so I'm going to start with sort of the bad news, and now get into the good news later on. The first part of this is talking about the everlasting life that is given to the unrighteous. Actually, I kind of played a little trick here, because in here we talk about the idea of everlasting life. If I go back to that last verse, notice what it says here. These will go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into everlasting life. The term everlasting life is used pretty much for Christians, because we have life. But the unsaved, or the unrighteous, those who are apart from God, in here, they are eternal. But interesting, their terminology isn't that they are living per se, because what they have is apart from Christ. I'll get into that in just a little bit. But it's an interesting tidbit that we talk about, like Richard Man and Lazarus, we'll talk about that a little bit. And in here we have Lazarus we know by name, and he is carried into heaven. And then we have the rich man, we don't have his name, who's taken to hell. But the first thing we need to realize that hell is a real place. I was just listening to a sermon the other day, and the pastor was going on talking about, well, heaven is really just a state of mind. It's just a state of mind. Heaven is real. Actually, the Bible in the New Testament uses three terms, right? If you have a King James, I think all these are translated as hell. If you have a more modern translation, they'll use Hades. Usually, we talk about the idea of Gehenna. And that is usually translated as hell. And then we have Tartarus. Each one of these places the scripture talks about. Hades is the place of the dead. Gehenna was a garbage dump, if you will. It was a valley that was outside of Jerusalem. And it became a garbage dump. And Jesus uses this imagery and talks about the flame and the burning. And he uses the word Gehenna, this picture. I'm old enough to remember when the days when my Sapphire would load up the truck and we would go down to the town dump. We loved the town dump. And they would go and, how many guys used to go to the dump? Right? And they would burn it. They would set it on fire. It would smolder. So we would walk around with sticks and turn things over and get flames going. We'd go down there and throw rocks at rats. I mean, this is good kid stuff, right? One time we found propane tanks and we were trying to roll the propane tanks into the fire. Don't do that. We got caught before we actually got it there. We're like, what are you guys doing? We thought it'd be kind of cool. What would happen? Right? But that, I still remember going down to the dump and it felt like you're going into an alien world. Everything was bare. There was smoky. It smelled. There was smoldering, right? It smelled of garbage and smoke and all that. I still have the vivid pictures in my head of what that is like. And that's the imagery Jesus would use, because out this valley, what they would do is it would set it on fire. It's kind of continually burning and smoldering. And they'd throw garbage, or they'd take the sacrifices that the Gentiles would use and they would toss it off into this valley. So it'd smell like burning flesh and hair and garbage. And that's the picture that Jesus himself uses about hell as a real place. The last one is the Tartarus. And actually it's only used once. And that's in the book of 2 Peter. And Peter uses that, talks about the demons that fell that were really, really, really bad. And God locked him away into Tartarus. So that has nothing to do with what we have today. But hell is real. Revelation chapter 20 talks about these places. As, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. The Revelation 20 talks about the judgment of the unrighteous. They will all stand before God and they'll be judged according to things that are in the book. And all those who are not found in the Lamb's book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. That is a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not designed for mankind. But because mankind fell, sin came into the world, death by sin, we are born separated from God. And as eternal beings, right? Eternal beings that will exist for all eternity, what is God to do with broken mankind? And what do you do with broken things? You throw it in the dump. And that is the picture that is given to us. So this is the idea, if you hear anyone talk about heaven, or that hell is not real, walk away. They're not teaching you biblical truth. Actually, the Bible goes on through, tells us this idea, not only is it a place, but hell is forever. We call it the idea of everlasting life, of eternity, that those who do not accept Jesus Christ will spend all eternity in this place called hell. We talk about the rich man in Lazarus, Luke chapter 16. It says, in being tormented in Hades, he lifted his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. This is the rich man. And he cried out, saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You ever have someone talk to someone, they're like, well, I'm going to go to hell with all my buddies and have a big party? It's not that way. It's a place of flames and torment. And Abraham said to him, son, remember in your lifetime you received good things. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Besides all this, between you and us, there is a great gulf that's fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those go from here to pass to us. That in here, eternity is locked in. He's appointed man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That those who are in hell are there forever. They receive their judgment. They will receive their sentence, and they will go to hell. Years ago, there was a Rob Bell, was an evangelical pastor, who kind of went on this tangent and talked about, well, you know, people are only in hell for a while. And after a while, God will pull them out. That is not the case. we are told, that is for eternity, that those who are in hell cannot pass, notice what it says here, cannot pass over. We pick this up. Jesus in Mark uses this illustration. In talking about us, take sin as a serious thing. Right? Do we take sin seriously? Our society does not do that. Right now, we are in the middle of a month that is celebrating a sin, an abomination to God. And yet, people are called to be proudful. Sin is serious. And Jesus talks about this idea that in our life, we turn from sin, get rid of things that lead us into sin. And this is the illustration he uses. See, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. For it's better to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell. Right? Are we willing to purge our lives from sin, to repent and turn from those things? Or to enjoy our sin knowing that leads us on that broad road to destruction? Or as the old song says, to a highway to hell. And we're better off in our lives, turning from our sin. But notice what the picture he uses here. It says, into the fire which shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And then verse 45 and 47, he talks about the foot and he talks about the eye, the same thing. In our lives, to turn from sin. Why? Because hell is real, but also hell is eternal. Right? It shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die. It is eternity. The decisions that people make in this life affect them for all eternity. Jesus uses this parable as well. He says to those who are on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devils and his angels. Right? Hell is a real place. It was designed for the devil. But man, because of his sin, because of his brokenness, of his rebellion against God, earns hell. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous in everlasting life. That in here, we talk about the idea of hell being for a very long time. Notice the correlation. Just as eternal as heaven is, hell is just as eternal. Did you get that? You know, imagine, we're going to talk about this in a little bit, if heaven was only temporary once again, what advantage is there? We are in a world right now that's temporary. You know, over the years, I would just spend a couple days talking and planning another funeral next month. Over my lifetime as a pastor, I've done more funerals than I can count. I remember one lady coming up and goes, Pastor, I want you to do my funeral because you're the best at doing funerals. Why, thanks. Can I tell you something? I'm tired of saying goodbye to people. I'm tired of coming alongside families and wrapping my arms around them and saying, I'm sorry. In heaven, there's no more goodbyes ever again. Amen? And just as much as I want to cling to that hope of an eternal heaven, folks, the reality, and I'm being truthful with you this morning, that hell is just as real. Heaven is just as eternal as heaven is. So what will they do? The Bible tells us that Jesus is life. Jesus is life. John 11 tells us this, and Jesus said to her, I am what? The resurrection and the... What's that next word? I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is the call. This is the cry that Christ came into this world. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that in him is life. And there's life in no other. John goes in, right? We know this dialogue he had with Nicodemus. We know that famous verse, you must be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Jesus continues on and says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides in him. Then in here, as I stand before the Lord, I will not face judgment because I am given life. I am given life through Jesus Christ. Not because of what I have done, but because what he has done for me. This is life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is life. This is life. And so we go from the idea of talking about those who are unrighteous, that the eternity they will spend in a place called hell, that is cast into the lake of fire forever, forever be separated from God. Someone just recently, I was listening to a sermon, and he likened it to this, that someone in their whole lifetime has been rejecting God, and God will finally give them what they want, eternity apart from him. But praise God, we taught the idea of eternal life, everlasting life, for those who believe in him, those who have accepted Christ, because by accepting Christ, you accept life, because Jesus is life. And the eternal life starts at salvation. If you are here this morning and you have accepted Christ as your Savior, if you are a Christian here this morning, your eternal life started the time you accepted Christ. Right? It's not just something that's down the line. It starts now. Jesus says, a thief comes not except to steal and to kill and destroy. Notice what Jesus says here. I have come that they may have what? Life. And they may have it more abundantly. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, if I want to use the phrase, you accepted Christ and he comes into your heart, right? That you now have Christ in you, the hope of glory. That you now have eternal life. That you who are dead in sin is now made alive unto him. And you have that abundant life. That as a Christian, it's not just a future day. You know, sometimes we get kind of wrapped up in that, right? Because today kind of stinks. We look what's going on in the world today, right? And it's discouraging, right? On top of that, we have normal life. We get the bills that come in, right? We have things that need to be fixed, repaired. We have our health that goes up, it goes down. We have struggles along the way, right? We get caught up in all those things. And sometimes as Christians, we just focus so much, and I'm guilty of this, right? Of someday, all this will be gone. Right? The joy and peace I have will come someday. We push it all down someday. But we're missing half the story. That in here we have eternal life. An abundant life now. If you have Christ in your life, blessed are you. Today. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Christian, pick up your hands. Turn that frown upside down. You have the Son. You have life. Enjoy it. Right? Even in the tribulations, blessed are you. It's been said by preachers over years ago who shared this, that look, for the unsaved, this is the best it gets. But for you as Christians, this is the worst. It gets better from here. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Right? The Apostle Paul says, look, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. That's a loose translation. Right? If I'm here, I'm stuck in this world, I have the Lord. But if I die, where do I go? I go to be with the Lord. So whether I live or die, I am the Lord's. Christian, be filled with joy because you have Jesus and Jesus has you. Live the life that He has called you to live in the midst of your troubles because God will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus goes on and says, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Notice what it says. It doesn't say he will have, but he has everlasting life. It shall not come in the judgment, but has passed from death to life. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life. Christian, eternal life starts now. This world is just kind of the running start to eternity. Paul tells the Ephesians this, and he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, who once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. This is a contrast for us in this world, right? The world is under a delusion. It is dead. It is separated from God. It is walking in the light steps of Satan. Now, if you don't believe that, look at the news and look at what's going on. You know, I know for years that I prayed for Roe versus Wade to be overturned. And I'll tell you, my heart skipped a beat when actually the Supreme Court said no and it goes back to the states. But you know what the sad truth is? That since Roe versus Wade has been taken care of, more babies each year have been aborted. Because what it's done is allowed states like our very own to allow abortion up to the time of birth. Then now, I think it's something like 40% of all abortions are now given by pill that can be mailed to someone in their home. You tell me that's not of the devil. We're taking kids in the name of gender ideology. I say idolatry. Yeah, it's that too, right? But ideology of mutilating and harming children. And we're still fighting. I just saw a school in Maine is still approving basically pornography in with kids in schools. You tell me that's not of the devil. The world is following Satan. And that's what this verse talks about. Right? Walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. Who's that? That's the devil. But what? You are made alive. Christian, you're not like them. You're not of them. You might be in the world, but not of them. Come out from among them, Jesus says. Be holy, for I am holy. We are called to something better. The life I can live. I remember years ago, I ran into a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in years and years and years. And we're at the store, and he was the cashier. And how you doing? And he looked at me. One of the first things he said, he goes, are you and Cindy still together? Because he knew it was when Cindy and I were dating. I said, yeah, Cindy and I, actually, we got married. He's like, wow. He goes, are you still married? I said, yes. He's like, oh. I was like, what? I was like, that should be a, hey. He goes, no, we've been married. At that point, it was like 30 years we've been married. He's like, oh. He goes, I'm on my third marriage, and I'm thinking about leaving her. He kind of shook his head and goes, you know, how do you do it? I'd like to say because I'm wonderful and easy to live with, but that'd be a lie. Don't laugh so hard. I heard that. It's because of the Lord. It's because the Lord's in it. Right? To live a life according to His Word. To live a life that when I fall, I say I'm sorry. I confess that sin. But the Lord makes a difference in every area of our lives. We talked about this in men's breakfast yesterday. To live a life pleasing to Him. And we will stand out from this world. Because we're different. Because He's in us. And we are made alive. Our eyes are opened. And we can walk the path that He has for us. We think different because the Spirit of God is in you. And that is the life. That we are strangers in a strange land. Hebrews uses the illustration of Abraham. It says, and by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs of him of the same promise. For he waited for a city whose foundation, whose builder and maker was God. I still love that old hymn. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And folks, we got to be careful of laying down the foundations. Because we're just passing through. We have better things to live for than the desires of the flesh and the things of this world. We got a hope in the Lord, a life everlasting that dwells in us. I got a home in glory that can outshine the sun. So you talk about eternal life, right? It's a gift that begins at salvation, that you are eternal. You're eternally secure for all eternity. But also eternity never ends. You can say, well, Pastor, no duh. Right? That's what everlasting means. It means it doesn't end. But I want to reiterate this because it's important for us to realize of what we have in store for us. Right? I find it interesting that, I talk to people, I'm a Christian, but I don't like hanging out with Christians. Man, you're going to be so disappointed in heaven. Right? I don't want to sing worship songs. I think worship songs are so boring. Guess what? You're going to be hugely disappointed in heaven. I usually don't put a whole lot of merit in some of these people who say that, they died and come back, and they come back with afterlife stories. I remember reading a person who had a testimony of this, and they said they came back from heaven, and someone asked him what it was like. He goes, there's a lot of singing, and it was loud. He said, heaven was loud with the praises of the saints. And folks, if we're not used to that now, if we can't worship God now, if we don't like God's people now, man, what are we going to do for all eternity? Because, folks, it just gets better. Paul encourages the Corinthians in this, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, right? This lifetime is just a blink in the eye, is working for us far more exceedingly the eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, right? This lifetime is temporary. This flesh is temporary. The joys of this world are temporary. The desires of this world are temporary. Don't put all your eggs in that basket. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. The promises that God has in store for us will not fade away. The hope that we have of a new flesh, of a new body. 1 Thessalonians, for when we are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will, what, always be with the Lord. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We will always be with the Lord. I don't know if I ever shared this with you. You guys know my father and me didn't have a good relationship. And my stepfather, when my mom got married to him, they had some clashes. And I remember as a kid, several times, he would leave. And I thought, my dad left, that he's going to leave too. And I don't know if you've ever been, especially as a kid, you hear a fight and you hear the car door and someone drives away and you wonder if they're ever going to come back. And sometimes a day or two went by. He always came back. And things got better. But I know over the years of talking and working with kids that, folks, we have families that boyfriends come in and out of the house like a rotating door. And you talk to these kids, and they're spending their lifetime of always saying goodbye. They don't want to get attached to someone for fear that they're going to leave them too. And what a horrible way that is to live. And folks, as I look at this passage I find comfort in, that we will always be with the Lord. The Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We will not be abandoned. And we will always be with Him. We will have a place. John 14 tells us, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. For if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into my own, that where I am, there you may be also. You have a place in glory. It's just for you. And you will find a place to belong. Hallelujah. The uncertainties of this life will be gone. And it will never change. Heaven is not temporary. God's love is not for the moment. Folks, the life we have from Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. He will never ever say goodbye. I'm going to leave you with this. If you ever get discouraged, I encourage you to read the end of the book. See how the story ends. Revelation chapter 21 reads this. It says, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Right? This is when heaven and earth be one. This is when Christ is in charge of the world. Everything is set right. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There'll be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more pain. For former things have what? Passed away. Folks, I can't even begin to comprehend a world without the pain and hurt. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. No one will ever hurt you again. You'll never be abandoned. You'll never be alone. The shame and hurt will all be passed away. What a day that will be, my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Folks, to be started off, if you're listening and you're online or you're here this morning, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is an eternity ahead of you, and it is not good. But Christ died for you, to save you, to redeem you. If you will cling to Him, He will save you, and you will have life. Christian, this morning, I want to encourage you with these words of life. It's not just a future day, but it starts now. That you have Christ in your life. You have an abundant life in your life. Just walk in Him. But what a joy that's going to be, folks. In that sweet by and by. When we turn to the Lord, and He says, welcome home. Enter into your rest. What a day that's going to be. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the hope that we have in You. Lord, as we wrap up these doctrines of the church, these foundational truths that shall never fade away, Lord, help us to build our lives upon them, Lord, to trust in them, be united together in them. Lord, we thank You for the eternal life that's laid out in store for us. Lord, help us to live it today until we finish this race and we walk into your arms and you welcome us home. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.